Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is George Arabian, who is the president of Envision and has been an active player in the online world for over 20 years, covering all aspects of digital marketing. Today, we're going to be discussing George's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, George.
Thanks for having me, Julia. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So to get started, let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
For sure. Let's go.
So what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I think the continual challenge is what really motivates me. Especially in the digital world, as you've probably heard and know, having come from that background, there's always something new. There's something new around the corner. There's a new technology, a new way of doing things, a new way to be a little more productive, a little more efficient. And then just the nature of our industry allows us to be surrounded by very talented human beings that always bring, you know, their ideas and their, you know, thought processes on how to execute certain things. So it's very enlightening and rewarding when you yourself can be part of a community that's not only thriving, but always bringing something new to the table. Mm-hmm. I find that to be one of the most rewarding things.
I love that. And it's so true. Digital marketing is always growing and evolving, I think, you know, so fast compared to a lot of different industries. So it's really exciting to be a part of that. And, you know, it's just, you're just able to help these small businesses so much at the end of the day by sharing your knowledge and expertise that you've acquired along the way with them.
Yeah, I think one of the most gratifying things, and I share this with my team all the time, and I know it's maybe just a small part of the impact that we have, but when you see a client of yours thrive and able to expand, you get a sense of gratification that you had something to do with that success. And although it might just be a marginal part, and not to discredit the work that they're putting in as well as to grow their organizations, mm-hmm. There's a sense of pride there that, you know, when you hear the stories about, and I've heard them for the past 20 years, a client says, you know, we're expanding into a new geo territory, or, you know, I'm able to acquire this new piece of equipment and, you know, it's a couple million dollars or whatever the case may be. You're like, okay, I think I helped a little bit there to get them there. And it's a great feeling.
Definitely. I agree 100%. It's such a great feeling when you're able to help other businesses to succeed.
For sure.
So how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my story goes back about, I hate to age myself, but probably about 30 years or so.
Interesting.
I was fortunate that my father bought me a computer at a very young age. And I just kind of naturally started this curiosity sparked inside me and started getting into computers, which back then, you know, it was all DOS driven. So all command line kind of stuff. And then from there, it just evolved. The curiosity evolved into what else can this thing do, this machine? And so I got into building my own computers, like literally building things from scratch.
Oh, wow.
And so I became known in my community as, you know, the go-to person for anything technology centric.
Yep.
And so as that kind of evolved and I started going through high school, I had this kind of hustle on the side building computers for people, but I knew how to operate these things and really programmatically get things done. One thing led to another, and the internet started to blossom. And I got asked by just a local hockey retail store. They were selling hockey equipment. I played hockey growing up. He said, "Hey, there's this thing called the internet. Can you build it for me?" And I said, what do you mean build you an internet? He's like, "Yeah, I want to build an internet for people have the internet at their places. Their companies have internets." I said, "Do you mean a website?" He said, "Yeah." I was like, here's an opportunity. You know, and the entrepreneur in me said, "Yeah, I can build you an internet." So one thing led to another. And I ended up, you know, writing code, learning it, writing it, designing it. And probably about 500 hours later and $400 in my pocket, I was able to deliver the first website for this company. You know, and I tell this story to this day. I made literally spent 500 hours, but it was the best 500 hours I ever spent because not only did I learn HTML and JavaScript and design, but it sparked my curiosity even further. And then once that site was launched, having been fairly early in the world of the internet, the word started to spread that George builds these websites. So that's kind of how it all started. And here we are today, you know, literally 20 something years later and still doing it and still having a heck of a time, having fun doing it.
Amazing. That's such an interesting story. So even though you made, you know, $1 an hour for your first website, it just snowballed into your marketing agency at the end of the day. So tell us about Envision and, you know, how that came to be.
Yeah. So one day just sitting around again, a friend of mine and I were just kind of hanging out, probably having dinner. And I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to make a serious go at this. The company that I was working for at the time, you know, I was in the more on the technology side as a solutions architect, designing data center solutions for large enterprise. And it wasn't gratifying. So I said, you know what, I think I'm going to make a go at this because a lot of people were, you know, calling me in for these websites. And we started coming up with names and the actual word Envision stemmed from mathematical equation for n factorial, and which is infinite possibilities, is essentially what it stands for.
So
so we ended up, I said, okay, well, n, how can I play on words with n factorial? And that's what the n and the exclamation mark are in our logo represented. I said, okay, well, what about vision, n factorial? And then just Envision popped out of my mouth, and away we went. And that's where it all kind of started from. So at that time, we had, you know, 4 or 5 projects on the go. And from there, it turned into 10 projects. From 10 projects, turned to 20 projects. Then we started to hire. And fortunately for me, one of my best friends growing up, I'd known him 35 years. He said, "Hey, by the way, I'm at Fanshawe College and I'm doing a design and multimedia program here. And for my final project, before I graduate, I have to build a site for a company for free as part of my internship or whatever." I said, "All right." His name is Kevin. I said, "All right, Kevin, go for it. You can build us our first website for Envision." And, you know, I didn't have the time because I was trying to manage the client sites, and he ended up building that. And then the rest, as they say, is history. And here we are. I think we're on version 12 of our website. I think this is NV12, we call it, or something like that. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Very cool. So, you know, when you were first starting out in those early days, how did you get those first few clients?
So word of mouth was a big, big way that we would acquire clients. As I said, the internet was in such a state of infancy still that I think once people started to understand the power of what the World Wide Web could offer, really started to pick up ground and momentum very, very quickly. So as my products were going online through clients that I was building sites for, they would just pass the word along to the next person and the next person. And that's how it really, really took off. And now we are at a point where we've probably done tens of thousands of projects.
Wow.
And still to this day, it's probably our most reliable source of lead generation is through just putting out good quality work and taking care of our clients and having them pass our name along to others.
Interesting. Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely the best way to bring in leads is by just, you know, consistently offering a solid service, you know, keeping your clients happy, and then, you know, asking for referrals or having them come in organically. So are there other ways that you help bring in more leads into your agency, or is it primarily referral focused?
Yeah, I wish it was only referral, but certainly as we've scaled up, you know, we do, not that we don't, we do have a choice, but ultimately we do leverage almost every single channel that's available to us. And we experiment a lot and kind of use ourselves as guinea pigs to try new things. Mm-hmm. And the channels that we leverage, you know, we do paid digital advertising on a variety of mediums, everything from Meta to the Google platforms that are available to us. We also do fairly sound email marketing. So we've got segmentation built into our email marketing initiatives, as well as automation built in through our partnership with MailChimp. So we do a lot of email marketing as well to help facilitate communication and touch points with our clients. Mm-hmm. We're also fairly active on social. So, you know, I'm frequently doing videos, whether they're tutorial videos or just discussions around things that I'm passionate about, you know, human-centric approach to running a business, entrepreneurship, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Then I'm a big proponent of my team being involved as well. And I encourage them to put their name out there and be the experts in the field. So they do a lot of videos independently of me about subject topics that they're passionate about, whether it be email marketing, paid advertising, social media, organic SEO, all things that we do, but they're really the experts and they should have the forum to discuss their expertise as opposed to me regurgitating things or trying to interpret things the way that they can speak so eloquently about.
Right.
So we do literally leverage almost every channel available to us. And in the last 4 years, we've actually built an entire influencer network as a side project that's now blown up to nearly 1 million visitors coming to 60 different podcasts and our blog. But it's a whole different thing that was kind of just manifesting itself. And now it's become a real entity that we're going to be scaling and leveraging as another channel of marketing.
Interesting. So the influencer network that you've built, what is that exactly?
Yeah, so that's it's a network that we started with some local DJs, radio personalities here, one of them being Dean Blundell. Dean was a fairly prominent radio personality in Toronto.
Yes, I definitely know the name.
Shock jock kind of type.
Yeah.
And so he approached us, I'd say 5 years ago now, and, you know, had this idea and said, you know what, I think we can make something of it. So we went through an entire brand exercise and went to market with a commitment to get continual influencers on our podcast, as traditional media was starting to fade away, as we started doing evaluations on, you know, where Gen Zs and even Gen Xers, and for that matter, any generation now, where do they go for consumption of information? It was all online, you know, television and radio were going by the wayside. And a byproduct of that is all the personalities that we kind of grew up with were also being let go from the major media entities. So we've now brought them on board into our ecosystem, which is allowing them to kind of resurface and have a voice and say anything they want without restriction or limitation. So it's kind of like the misfits of the traditional media world coming back, you know, to bring their insights and content to the digital space. And we've helped facilitate that and grown that too. So.
Very cool. So if our listeners want to check that out, where can they go?
So currently they can go to deanblundell.com, which they can find a lot of the articles and all the podcasts are listed there under the main navigation menu. But deanblundell.com is adapting into our new media company, which is going to be called Crier Media. So the town Crier was kind of the inspiration behind it. So it's Crier Media, which is going to be launching in about a month and a half.
Okay. Very cool. Awesome. Well, definitely excited to check that out. Awesome. All right. So, you know, in your experience, what would you say has been the you know, how do you maintain happy clients who are going to help bring in those referrals to your agency at the end of the day?
By maintaining happy employees. And I think that's where it all starts. I think as a business owner, with somebody who's always been brought up to appreciate the people that you're surrounded by, I've always been encouraging our staff and making sure that our staff are first taken care of, because a byproduct of that is your clients will get taken care of. So mm-hmm. have a very clear set of defined values and goals for our agency. Our values are actually posted right on our website, because we want to be transparent and truthful with what we stand for and what we believe. Mm-hmm. But also for those seeking opportunities, they can also appreciate if they would be a good fit for our culture. We've been fortunate, and I've been fortunate to be surrounded by some incredibly talented human beings who are here. And just through, you know, as much as I'd like to think that we have a kind of a flat org chart here, how I behave and the things that I say and what I want this agency to be really have to come from me. And that becomes ingrained in everybody else. So I really put a lot of emphasis on ensuring the people here are taken care of. If they need education or training, we'll make sure mm-hmm. to support them in that regard. If they need support in any way, especially in the last few years with everything going on in the world, you know, we're there to help support this little ecosystem that we've built. And that ultimately directly impacts our customer satisfaction.
Yeah.
So when we do our surveys with our clients, they're like, thank you for introducing me to such and such in your company, or I've been working with such and such and I really love working with them. So, you know, that's all the people here. It has nothing to do with me other than me being truthful and transparent about what we want to be and how we want to be perceived.
Just live for them. I think that is so important, because, you know, happier people, happier employees at the end of the day are just going to produce a higher quality of work. You know, they're going to enjoy what they're doing, and it's going to be reflected in the work that they're producing. And then also, you know, from a business standpoint as well, it's definitely, you know, the whole hiring process and, you know, finding someone who's an ideal fit for your agency is a lot of work. So when you're able to, you know, retain your talent and, you know, keep them happy and help them to foster and grow as professionals, it also just, it makes so much more sense from a business standpoint as well.
Oh, without question. I mean, all the studies and research will tell you how much time it takes to actually onboard one of your employees and get them acclimatized to the way you do things.
Yeah.
So that investment, and we take it very seriously here, means a lot when we have employees here who've been with us 10 years, many who've been with us over 5.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, we really try to cater to our employees, again, very human centric first approach. People over profit is another thing that kind of is said a lot around this agency. And I hold that to be true. I think, there's something to be said about, you know, appreciating that we're all in one way, shape or form. We have our imperfections, but if we can be honest with each other and just have a sound appreciation of one another's skills and flaws, then I think we can all be very supportive of making each other better and ultimately making a better product.
Yeah, it sounds like a really, really interesting culture that you guys have built. So I love that.
Yeah.
And what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Envision?
Gosh, I mean, it seems like you can ask me that question in 3 months from now, I'd probably give you a different answer. And if you could have asked me that 3 months ago, it might have been different. I think where we find I think I'm going to use it in the context of today. And I think one of the biggest challenges is really appreciating. I mean, we've been always very open to working from home. That's never been an issue here because we've been able to. So remote work wasn't foreign to us when the pandemic first came into kind of the norm and discussions around closing shop and having to work from home exclusively. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, when we're talking about maybe a potential lockdown of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that was okay. But then you get into 6 months or a year, and now it's been almost 2.5, 3 years of not seeing some of my colleagues in person still yet. So wow. the challenge is, how do you keep them motivated? How do you ensure they're being taken care of? What is this new culture that we've created? And is there a plan? You know, the question I get asked is, are we expected to come back to work?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer I have right now is, we've been able to do it this long successfully. I don't expect anybody to come in through force, because I don't think that's right. But I'd love to see people voluntarily come in, just so I can, there's something to be said about that in-person community touch point and connection that you get when you're able to sit across the boardroom table and share a meal or drink with them or laugh, and they're not distracted by an email that's about to come in or a Slack pop-up. So I think the biggest challenge is trying to figure that out and how to communicate that effectively, that I still think that human connection face-to-face is super, super valuable.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's definitely, it's not an easy conversation to have. And I think every team is going to be different. And, you know, you got to find out, you know, what is that sweet spot of what your team wants, you know, what's best for the company. And and maybe, you know, that hybrid approach is, you know, what's best. But yeah, it's going to be different for every agency.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're very much of the mindset that the company is the company, and, you know, I think it'll be fine whether or not somebody works from home or comes into the office. I think there is something intrinsically beautiful about just having that personal connection. And it doesn't have to be every day, but if you can sit with someone monthly or even quarterly, I mean, it's just such a great little uplifting moment. And we try to do it here, and we have our monthly lunches where we invite anybody who wants to come in. It's totally voluntary. But then you walk away from that day and you say, that was really cool. I didn't know that thing about that person. Or
yeah,
I didn't realize that. You know, it's just such an awesome opportunity to just break bread and share stories.
Awesome. I love that. Well, sure. Where do you see Envision in 5 years' time?
So right now we've expanded into Vancouver, which is part of our growth strategy, which has been going well. And we're still putting lots of emphasis on growing that. And we've got kind of a 2-year game plan for our Vancouver growth. And then from there, what we'd like to try to do is replicate that on the East Coast and potentially expand into Halifax or somewhere in Nova Scotia, so that we can really have coverage across coast to coast throughout Canada. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's our 2025 game plan, to expand out into Halifax. And then I see us just doing what we're doing across the country and providing exceptional service, exploring new ways to provide and present our products to the market and to our clients. And I think, going back to what I was saying earlier, I think the gratification is our ability to alter or have a small part to play in the success of people's lives. And I take that very seriously, and we don't take it for granted that we can make a significant impact in a business's trajectory.
Yeah.
And so I see us continuing down this path that we are on right now. I think we're doing great, but it's just being able to offer it and maintain our core purpose as an agency to do good quality work, be good human beings to the people inside this agency, and be good human beings to the people who want to deal with us outside the agency.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's really exciting that your goal is to be able to serve businesses across Canada, so from the east to the west coast. So very excited to see how that pans out for you guys.
Me too.
Yeah, very cool. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions for you.
Yep.
So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I've read many books. I've got a ton of them behind me, but I'm reading one by Susan Cain right now called Quiet. Mm-hmm. And it really goes deep into introverts and extroverts and how we've been conditioned as a society to feel that only extroverts could be the big winners in everything they do.
Yeah.
Susan spins that on its head and talks about introverts. And I like to think I'm somewhere in between. I like my quiet moments, and I've always struggled with what am I categorized as? Because I do have my extroverted moments as well. But that's, if I could recommend that book to anybody who's just questioning, you know, all these misunderstandings about introverts and extroverts and where this all stemmed from, it's a great book.
It's so interesting. It's a really interesting topic, because I think you can, you know, if you push yourself, you can become more extroverted. But I think it definitely comes down to, you know, what gives you energy. You know, does being in, you know, surrounded by groups of people drain you or energize you, I think is sort of what defines the introvert and extrovert. But I think, you know, if you push yourself, you can definitely, you know, become more extroverted if you have more introverted tendencies.
Yeah, I think the book goes really deep into how, as a society, it's almost a known thing that if you're not an extrovert, there's no way you can be successful. And it's so not true. And I think there's a lot of successful introverts that are out there.
Yeah.
And the book goes deep into that, the detail. It just kind of helped me process, because I do have those moments where I just kind of want to be left alone to think or plan, or not necessarily share everything with everybody in the world. Like, you know, we've been trained to leverage these social platforms to highlight every last thing we do as a mechanism of validation. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's definitely noisy. So yeah, the book Quiet definitely sounds intriguing to read.
Yeah, it's really good. I recommend it.
And what does your morning routine look like?
So my morning routine is I get up every day around 4:45. I have four children at home, so I don't find a lot of time to exercise. Mm-hmm. So I go to the gym for 5:15-ish every day. About an hour to an hour and 10. I'm at the gym, get home, have my morning coffee, read my morning digital newspaper or anything that's caught my attention in the news, kind of get caught up there. I get ready, help my kids get ready in the morning. My wife and I will kind of, you know, play zone and then see who's in our zone for the day, whether it's my older two or my younger two. And get them ready, then I take them to school and I'm into the office. And that's a typical morning for me.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
A CEO that I follow or study? I follow and study a lot of CEOs. But my mentor, one of my mentors, his name is Scott Ray, and I'm actually part of a group called CEO Global. And I am a member of that group, and it's just a group of CEOs that get together. My group happens to be a group of eight CEOs who come together every single month to discuss, you know, problems they're facing or opportunities and challenges that they see, in whether it's in the industry and the economy. But Scott, who's our group lead, is a CEO and a very successful one at that, and he's been a very successful businessman. So I'm like a sponge, and I read everything he gives me, and I kind of track everything he does and try to replicate to the best of my abilities. But he's been a great CEO for me, and one that I'm grateful that I've come across.
Okay. Awesome. Love that. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool, Acrobat Signature is my favorite online tool, because I can send proposals out and have signatures immediately on my proposals.
That's, you know, that's such a convenient tool, because yeah, the idea of printing something out, signing it, scanning it is so tedious and time consuming.
Yeah, I guess I come from the old school kind of pen to paper kind of world, and very tactile. Mm-hmm. And my staff have been pleading with me to just jump on Acrobat, just get the signatures quickly. People will do it. I'm like, all right. So about 6 months ago, I just jumped on, got a little bit of training on it, and here I am, and everything goes out in e-signatures now, and this the turnaround time is like instantaneous with our clients, and my staff laugh at me every day because kind of I still like the old way of doing things, a handshake, a physical signature.
Yeah, it's always the, it's so simple, but such a time savings.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
One thing I'd known, I wish I had taken less time worrying about, or I wish that I had the ability to see bad strawberries sooner in our organization that kind of impacted other people. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, you know, I definitely have learned from past mistakes, and there are people who aren't always going to align with your values and what you're looking for from the perspective of the agency. And sometimes those individuals have an impact on the way you behave. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I could, I had the courage or know how to weed those out sooner. I do now, and I've learned the hard way, mm-hmm. but you know, having the ability to identify those bad strawberries that are spoiling the other strawberries sooner mm-hmm. would be something that I wish I can go back and hone in on sooner.
Yeah, it definitely can be very challenging, but yeah, it's so important at the end of the day to really just protect your team and their morale at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, George. It's flown by, but I've really enjoyed learning about your story and, you know, your story around growing Envision. So thank you so much for joining me for today's episode.
Thank you very much for allowing me to be on this episode, Julia. It was a pleasure. And I look forward to hearing it and keeping in touch with you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.